Hey guys, we're back. Smart Brand Marketing, another episode. Today with me, I have Jason Dion. He's an expert in cybersecurity, has 6,000 students, a lot of them on Udemy, has quite a few courses. I just looked over his website, making good money, you know, probably would make more on his own, but making good money with Udemy. Hey, Jason.
Hey, it's great to be here. Actually, it's 60,000, not 6,000. So 60, we'll multiply that by 10.
Yeah, sorry about that. 60,000 students. Yeah, it's pretty wild, right? Can you talk about how you got started with the courses and like what the journey's been like?
Yeah, definitely. I started just after Black Friday in 2016, so just about 2 years ago. I was a college professor, working part time as a college professor. And I decided to take one of my courses and film it. And then one of my friends told me, hey, why don't you try this Udemy thing? So I uploaded the course to Udemy to see what it would do. I hit publish, and immediately overnight I was rich. No, not really. the first month I made $59, right? So woohoo! Basically was able to take my wife out for dinner. But it was something that it kind of flipped a switch that said, hey, I saw what was possible, that you could make money teaching and doing it online. And not doing that individual one-on-one attention that I was used to in the classroom. So I started making some more courses, and one course became two, and two became three, and now 2 years later I have 19 courses, and we've gotten it to the point where we have 19 courses, over 60,000 students, 189 countries, and making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year on it, and it's pretty awesome.
How do you feel about Udemy in general, right? Because, you know, we talked about this a little bit before the show. You have zero control. You know, they're taking most of the money. They are definitely helping promote. But, you know, in a way, it's not a business because you don't control a list.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, right? I love Udemy. Udemy has been really, really great for me and my brand. I started on Udemy, and the first year I was pretty much doing only on Udemy. I didn't go anywhere else. The second year, you know, I kind of thought about that, and I was like, I'm not, you know, as much as I love Udemy and I trust them, they could change their business model tomorrow and my income could go away. And I don't like that lack of control. So I started going to other outlets. And so in 2017, I spent a lot of time putting courses on other platforms throughout 2017, 2018 to figure out what else works. I'm not a marketer by nature. So the idea of putting it on your own site or doing something like Thinkific or Teachable and being able to build the funnels and do all the sales, that was not something that really appealed to me. I'm a teacher at heart, not a marketer. And so Udemy really helps me not having to worry about the marketing as much because they do that. But over this last year, we have expanded out beyond Udemy. But I would say Udemy is still a very, very large part of my business. It probably makes up about 70% of my revenues. But I think the important thing is that people have to understand what Udemy is and what these other self-hosting options are. There's a big difference in the business that you're actually in. In Udemy, you're being a content producer. You're making courses, and you're going to have to do some marketing to get it started, but eventually Udemy's marketing will take over once your course starts selling. When you're on your own platform and you're doing something like a Thinkific or a Teachable, and my site is actually hosted by Thinkific right now, they're not sending any traffic your way. So you're going to have to do pay-per-click advertising. You're going to have to do the SEO stuff. You're going to have to do blog entries and podcasts and YouTube videos and all that stuff to drive traffic to your site. And you get into the point where you spend more time as a marketer and less time as a teacher. And I think that's kind of a big distinction between those two business models. You have a lot more control, but it's also all on your shoulders.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've spoken with a lot of course creators and teachers, and it seems like, you know, that marketing hat is just one hat too many, you know, because you got to figure out a lot of other things too, you know, not only your field and how to teach and the technical part to put this stuff out and sometimes video and audio and all this stuff, like marketing and sales, you know, like I've been in that field and it feels like it's been taking me 15, 20 years to really figure out what's going on, you know, to get a grasp on it.
Yeah, I think the other thing is a lot of us who aren't in the marketing and sales field, we've had bad experiences with marketers before, right? I don't know about you, but I've had those experiences where I feel dirty after talking to somebody when they're trying to sell me, right? And I didn't want to be that guy trying to sell my students. I want to help my students. I want to teach my students. And I know not all marketers are sleazy dirtbags or anything, right? But there are those out there. And so I have this, you know, preconceived notion that marketing is evil and that kind of thing. And I know it's not, but it's just one of those hurdles that I personally have to overcome to be able to go and do marketing. And so in the last 2 years, I haven't done a whole lot of marketing. I've just put out a lot of content and tried to help a lot of people. And luckily that's been successful for me. But I do think it's important in the online teaching world to get that marketing piece underway. Because I know people who have one or two courses that make the same amount of money that I do. But I've had to do 19 courses to make that kind of money because I don't have that marketing skill.
Yeah, that seems a very big challenge to a lot of people. It's that feeling about marketing and sales, like you said, you know, sleazy. And, you know, like for me, I love marketing and sales. I love it. I don't feel like I push myself onto people. I do a lot of more of pull marketing. And I'm thinking of it as just helping, right? Let me see if I can take you where you want to go. If not, then, you know, it's not something I can do. But you're right. When I think about most of the salespeople that I've dealt with, you know, like these type of car sales people, right, that just keep pushing you. And they want to sell you the Facebook ad dream without even learning about your business and, you know, sell you this dream. Like if you just start at $5-$10 per day, at some point you'll make millions, you know, just pay me $500. Like nonsense. I hear it all the time in the internet marketing world. And I'm like, you know, and I call a lot of these guys, you know, even though they're in my same field, I call them out on their bullshit. I'm like, look, it's not going to work. It's not going to work 90% of the time, especially if a person doesn't have a big budget. And, you know, $10 a day, because this is like the mainstream thing now, you know, I see this being sold all the time. I'm like, look.
The price of a cup of coffee, we can do your Facebook marketing.
Yeah, right. But I'm like, look, if you charge someone $500, because that's a normal, like low end, you know, these low end experts, that's what they charge, $500. And they're paying $10 in ads. Normally, in remarketing, you'll get 4 to 5x. In cold traffic, maybe 1.5 if you're lucky. So that means, for the most part, while you're testing, they're probably going to lose at least $200 from the 300 they put in, usually, plus your 500 that you took. So they're actually way worse off than they started. They now are left with like negative 700 out of, you know, whatever you've done. And at that type of investment, they'll never get their money back because they'll never get 7 or 10x on the Facebook ads to pay for the ads, pay for you. I get it. It's a lot of like selling dreams. Yeah. And that's not really marketing. That's just, you know, sleazy people taking some kind of a course on Facebook ads and being like, I'm an expert now.
Yeah. I know I said like sleazy marketing, I kind of went that direction first, but I'll tell you, I have a couple of friends who are into marketing and they have that I want to help people attitude. And I think if you approach it that way, right, your audience sees that and they realize that you're there to help them and you want the best for them. And, you know, we're all in business to make money eventually, right? So if you're trying to present them an opportunity to buy something, it's hopefully because you think that product's going to help them and it's going to cause a difference in their life. If you're doing that, then you're not being a sleazy marketer. And like I said, it took me about 2 years to finally have that switch flip. Right. And in 2019, one of the things I'm looking at is to start doing some more marketing so I can help more people. Because if I can get out in front of a bigger audience, that I can help more people get to where they want to be in their careers, right? And marketing allows you to do that. So it's not that it's an evil field, but there are a lot of bad players in that field, I think, and it's given it a bad reputation.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of players in different fields that are the same. I mean, even if you look at Udemy, like my feeling about Udemy these days, that 90% of it is garbage. You know, it's just the courses are put out just to make money.
So yeah, I would agree with you that a lot of the courses on there are not good quality, right? The quality standard, it seems like the belief is that the marketplace will deal with the quality standard, right? So anybody can build a course, which is great. It means it's accessible to everybody to do it. The problem with that is anyone can build a course, which means they don't have to be an expert in their field. They don't have to know how to do video production. They don't have to know how to do editing. And I've seen some courses where somebody will just turn on a microphone and record for an hour straight and all the mistakes they made, all of the things they screwed up, go right into the final product. And it's garbage, right? I mean, there's a reason we have editing, right? You should have a product that you should be proud of. And some people just want to put out as much as they can, as fast as they can, to try to grab some of that, quote, internet riches, right? As opposed to approaching it as a teacher and trying to get the best quality product to help a student get the life change they want. There are some awesome courses on Udemy, and you can get a steal because, as we all know, Udemy is a low-price platform. You're going to pay $10 to $15 for a course. The courses I teach, for instance, my number one seller is the ITIL course. It's a certification that helps people get into the IT field. That particular course, if you take it on other people's website, is $500 or $1,000 to go through an eight-hour course. You can get mine for $10 or $15, and it will give you the exact same result. You're going to pass the exam. And that's great. But for every one great course like mine, there's probably 10 or 50 or 100 courses that you might not be able to even see the video quality. You can't hear the person talking. It's bad teaching. It doesn't get the right stuff because there is not a quality check there. But I think you have the same thing when you go on a Thinkific site or a Teachable or any other online course, because nobody is checking people when they put these things out there. It's self-publishing. And that's one of the great things about self-publishing, but it's also the negative thing about self-publishing, that quality control is not necessarily there.
Yeah, you just touched on a very interesting point. The same info that someone's selling for $500, you sell for $10. So you're devaluing your information by a lot on purpose. You're pretty much trying to destroy the industry, you know, by doing that. And then when you try to go back and take control back and sell it for what it's worth, it makes it more difficult. How do you feel about that, especially since I see you're having courses on your website for $99, $399, $299, but at the same time, you're devaluing the information on Udemy.
So that's a great point, right? So it's actually a little bit different. So what I sell on Udemy is different than what I sell on my website. Udemy is video courses and practice exams. To me, I look at it like a book. If I was going to buy a textbook, I can buy a textbook for $20 or $30, right? You know, $10, $20, $30. I can study and I'm going to take an exam. And that's how I look at Udemy, and that's why the prices are set that way. Now, on my site, the stuff that we're selling there that's the higher value prices is stuff where we actually have a higher cost to provide to the student. So when I provide a video course, it really doesn't cost me anything except the initial production. So if it costs me, say, $5,000 to write the course, film the course, edit the course, and caption the course, that's a one-time fixed cost. And if I can sell that at $500 per student and sell it 10 times, I've made back my money. Or if I put it on Udemy for $10 and I sell it 500 times, I made back my money, right? So either way, it doesn't matter to me on the number of students. It's the, you know, the return on the investment there. When I look at the stuff on my site, those are things like hands-on labs. There's actually server time associated with that. There's actually computing resources that we have to pay for every student that's enrolled in that. So we actually have about the same profit margin on those higher priced items on our site that we do on the stuff we sell on Udemy. It's just we have a higher cost in those as well. So that's the difference there. And when I look at like my course versus some of the other courses out there that are charging $500 or $1,000, and I would say that we provide the same quality that they do, I guess there you might be looking at a devaluation, right? I'm devaluing their product by selling it for less. So I guess that point I would agree with you there. And that is a challenge, right? Because there's always going to be somebody who's going to sell things for less. On Udemy, we see that a lot where there's instructors from all over the world. And I live in America. The cost of living here is fairly high. There's other instructors who live in Pakistan and India. The cost of living there is very low. And so they could sell a course for a dollar and still, you know, make a good living. Where for us, we'd have to sell it for $10 or $50 or $100. So yeah, I guess there is something there to the devaluing, but it's just a global, the way we charge is based on global economy. For me, I'm not trying to get the most I can per student. I'm trying to help the most students. When I started this, I didn't start this to, you know, get a company that was making six figures. I never thought it was going to make this kind of money. I was thinking, hey, if I can get this to $1,000 a month, I'd be really happy. I've far exceeded that. But it's not because I'm trying to sell it for the most money to get the most per student. So I guess it's just a different goal.
yeah, it's fine. I just wanted to ask.
I definitely see my competitor's perspective where, you know, I'm devaluing their product, right? Because they're selling it for $500 and I'm selling it for $10. So that's a big difference.
Well, it's not even that. It's you're just devaluing the information in the first place, right? So someone learning it now, they're like, wow, I'm learning something that's only worth $10. you know?
So I don't see it that way, because we live in an economy and a world where information is devalued. Everything I teach, you can go on YouTube for free and watch, right? And it's not me teaching it, somebody else is teaching it, right? But all the information exists out there for free. What I do on Udemy is I take all those free resources, I present it in a better way, I present it in a more visually appealing way, I hopefully keep people's interest and teach them what they need to learn, and I put it into the right format. It's just like a book, right? If you get a book, everything in that book is online somewhere and for free. The difference is when you get it in a book, it's laid out in 10 chapters that make sense to go from step one to step 10. And that's what you're paying for, that $10 or $20. I've never, you know, I look at a lot of courses and I would have a hard time selling my course for $500 or $1,000, because I would feel the people I'm trying to serve are people trying to get into a career field. I don't think they have that kind of money to pay for that. And I think it holds people back from getting into a career that would benefit them and benefit society. So I guess I try to lower the bar and make so cost isn't an issue. If somebody says $10 is an issue and they can't afford it, then that to me, they're not going to be able to get in that career field anyway. But I could see where $500 or $1,000 could stop somebody from entering the career field.
Yeah, fair enough. Especially, you know, since you're still selling information, which for the most part is free now. You know, it's different with courses that are very transformative. Like, you know, I will take you from here to here and teach them a skill that's like very directly tied to value. You know, like I'm going to teach you how to do this skill. And with this skill, you can now do this job that's going to make you probably, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 extra on the side. Like, because there are courses like that, too. With yours, if it's like to pass a test, well, yeah, that test is not going to make them any money. It's like you have to go pretty far. Like, I will teach you this, transform you so that you can take a test and then get a job. And then one day, like, it's very far-fetched. So, it's yeah, I can see, you know, $500 would be quite difficult to how to present it in a way where someone's like, yeah, I'm definitely feeling good about this.
Yeah, and the difference is, you know, what I'm competing against is not necessarily a $500 course, but it's a $20 textbook, right? And so that's why we try to price around the price of a textbook. You can either go buy a textbook and read it, or you can go watch a course and learn it. Either way, you're going to get the same result, right?
What's the journey like getting off of Udemy? Because I'm seeing, you know, you are doing quite a bit on your own website. I'm curious about that, you know, the Thinkific and Teachable and those platforms. How is that working out?
Yeah, so our first step off Udemy was actually onto other course platforms, things like LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com and Safari Books and a couple other places, which again, I was taking my content and repurposing it onto those type of platforms. On our own website, which I started about a year ago, the way we have it is set up as a membership site. So I have, you know, like I said, 15 or 20 courses at this point, and a lot of my courses kind of follow a line of somebody's career. And so people can buy a membership to our site for $9 a month, again, very inexpensive. And they basically are getting the Netflix of online learning for those certifications, right? They can come and watch whatever they want and get the training they need to get through those exams. So again, we weren't trying to upsell price there as much as giving them all of them the courses as opposed to a pay per course like they have on Udemy. The other thing we have on our site is those additional products that we've now added, which give them a more in-depth experience, things like the hands-on labs. And then we also sell the exam vouchers that they need to go take the exam because these are all industry certifications and you have to pay to go take them and get certified. So for us, those are the big things that we're selling on our site. And the biggest thing that has been selling through our site is actually the exam vouchers, because even the students on Udemy, they need to pay this exam voucher fee before they can go take the exam. And they can pay it to us or they could pay it to the company directly. But if they pay it through us, they actually get a discount on it. So that's been a good feeder program for us. And it allows us to get the students a cheaper price on the exam, and we get to make a little bit of a processing fee on that.
Very nice. How are you driving traffic to your website?
So right now, a lot of it is people who find us from Udemy. So in Udemy, at the end of your course, you're allowed to have what's called a bonus lecture, where you're allowed to basically have a commercial, right? And so after they go through their 8-hour course, and they've just spent 8 hours with you, they know you, they like you, they trust you, and then you come in with your bonus and say, hey, by the way, I have a website over here where you can come get these products that I offer. And so a lot of students come from Udemy over to my site to get their exam voucher, and then they come back time and time again at my website to get other courses. So that's been helpful. And then the other thing I do is I do a lot of one-on-one type marketing, I guess is the best way to put it. I do a lot of time in Facebook groups. And so I will go into Facebook groups that are related to my topics. I'll answer questions there to help people out. And then after we've been answering questions, you know, I'll be like, oh, by the way, if you want to learn more, I have this course over here that answers more of those questions. So that's been the way that we've driven content or students over time to our site. I have not done a lot of pay-per-click advertising. I don't have funnels set up yet. That's all stuff that I plan to do in the future years. But a lot of that was because I didn't want to be a marketer or a salesperson. I wanted to help students, right? And so I've done that through Facebook groups. And if you help enough people, the money kind of follows itself. That's kind of been the philosophy. It's one of our core values in our company, right? We help enough people, the money will happen.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy. On that note, let's finish it up. Thank you for coming on. And where can people find you?
You can find us on deontraining.com or obviously on Udemy. If you search for my name, Jason Dion, you'll find all of our courses there.
Very cool. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.